exit interview. Sure, Mike, I'll be right up. Jesus, 4:45 on Friday? Just like that little fuck Warren. One of the stupid games Dave Martz had to put up with ever since corporate passed him over for the district slot and brought in the little shit from New York. First week, Warren calls all the managers in for one-on-ones, blows smoke up their asses about how they're all a team, and he's there to learn how he wants to know their ideas. Then he cherry-picks all the best shit, takes it out to New York alone, and comes back as the new senior VP. His teammates had to throw them under the bus before anybody got to talking about which ideas came from where. Except for Martz. The sales engine that ramped the numbers up 20% in the middle of a shit-ass economy, all that ran off the lead tracking system Martz had built from the ground up. Demand generation tied directly to client emails, real-time response to automated lead scoring, data mining coming out of better than 50 field offices, half a dozen internal legacy systems, vendors, logistics. It was a fucking technical ballet. Warren might have the shiny Ivy League MBA, and he sure as hell had his tongue all the way up the right asses. But this baby, it was a goddamn sales Ferrari. It ran like hell, but it was a temperamental little bitch. Without Martz, the wheels had come off inside a quarter. After the promotion, Warren had moved his office up to the power corner on 15. SVP's got a decorating allowance, and Warren went with his Shogun theme. Little water fountain and the dumbass table with his sand garden in it. Corporate saying no raises this year on account of the economy, changing the cut line on Martz's bonus so he got chump change, and Warren gets to drop almost 20 G's on his sandbox and the Kill Bill swords on the credenza. Sherilyn Accounting had told him she'd cut the checks. Martz's cell rang as he headed for the elevator lobby. He checked the screen. His daughter. "Hey, Daddy, you gonna make the show tonight?" Sally was in her sophomore year at Northwestern, drama major, playing the lead in Les Mis this weekend. Tuition at Northwestern was a killer, but a man provides. And after his wife had run off with the orthodontist, Sally was all he had left to provide for. All he had left, really. He never focused on friends. His wife always made those, and she'd gotten all of them in the divorce. "Front row, kid, you know that. I just gotta run up to Olympus and see Zeus first. Oh, don't let him make you late, Dad." "Don't worry. Warren's just tugging my leash. It's not like he ever stays late." "Okay, Dad. And hey." "Yeah. Love you." "I love you too, kiddo." Warren was behind his desk, coat on, tie all the way up. Whole damn world gone business casual. Little fuck didn't even take his jacket off to sit at his desk. Tailor-made suits, he'd told Martz all about it during his review. Explained how Martz's demeanor, the khaki pants look, the careless hair, his overly familiar ways with some of the staff, those were areas where Warren would like to see some improvement. Basically, if Martz wanted to get ahead, he was supposed to spend more on clothes and be meaner to people. When Martz rapped on the door frame, Warren was looking down at some papers, his hands steepled under his chin. Warren held up an index finger to stop Martz in the doorway, not even looking up, his face staying on the papers. It was a good 10 seconds before Warren folded the file shut and looked up with his usual thin smile, like in the 5 minutes between calling Martz on the phone and Martz rapping on the door, Warren had been clasped to the bosom of capitalism's muse, and Martz had endangered the moment by his mere presence. A couple months back, Warren had pulled the same stunt, but he'd had to step out for a minute during their meeting, so Martz had taken a peek at the file Warren left on the desk. Shit from Expedia about some ski place in Stade. "There's no easy way to say this, Dave. I'm still under pressure from New York on headcount. We're gonna have to let you go." There was more, some conciliatory crap about what an asset Martz had been to the organization, something about severance and outplacement counseling, but Martz wasn't tracking it. His mind was racing. The hit his 401k had just taken when the market tanked, the Cobra premium, the odds of finding a job at 52, the interns Warren had been stacking in his department, learning his system so Warren could fill his slot with some 20-something puke at half his salary. And Sally, Jesus, No way he could keep her at Northwestern. Martz felt as if he were dissipating, actually ceasing to exist, like he'd become so inconsequential that his molecules were drifting apart into a cloud. Warren was still talking, but Martz couldn't stay, couldn't listen, had to get up, move, see if he still even controlled his own body. He turned toward the door, lost his balance, caught himself on Warren's credenza. Warren snapping at him from behind, something about how he wasn't through, something about Martz being unprofessional. Martz saw the Kill Bill swords on the rack in front of him. He grabbed the top sword, the longer one, and in one motion pulled it from its scabbard, turned and swung it down into Warren like an axe. The blade sliced into Warren at an angle where his neck connected to his left shoulder and down through the collarbone, through the sternum, lodging down on the rib cage. Warren flopping forward on the desk, blood sheeting across the closed file, the expensive wood raining off the front of the desk onto the silk rug. Martz couldn't decide whether he'd meant to do it or not, but it was done. And he remembered the life insurance. He'd always maxed out on that during benefit elections, even buying up the extra coverage because it was so cheap. He'd had that policy better than 20 years, way past any suicide exclusion. It was some multiple of salary deal. And what he made now, more than enough. Sally could get through school, she could focus on the acting, and not have to wait tables for dicks like Warren. Martz pulled the shorter sword, placed the tip against his stomach. He'd heard about the Japs doing this on the History Channel. You ram the blade in and you pull it across. How bad could it be? Martz took a deep breath, drove the blade home, the pain following the blade across his gut like a line of liquid fire. Bad enough, he decided.